I know at some point in time there's been some sermon somewhere, because Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. Everything that's ever been done, it's done. And so I know somebody somewhere has preached a message on the Kidron Valley. I guess I could have gone on YouTube and looked up Kidron Valley message and done that, but I didn't. So I started doing some research on my own to find out some things about this Kidron Valley. The word Kidron itself means ashy, dark, or dusky. This valley that we read about here, that David crossed over, and that we read in Scripture, it is located on the east side of the old city of Jerusalem, and it started just northeast of the old city, and it descends 4,000 feet south for 20 miles all the way to the Dead Sea. As a whole, it is known as the Kidron Valley, but there are sections of it that are known by different names. Some of those names are the Valley of Walnut, the Fire Valley, the Monk's Valley, the Valley of Jehoshaphat, the Valley of Judgment, and the King's Valley. There are cemeteries there in this valley, up there on the north end of it, where there are tombs where they were dug out, and many, many people were buried there. Some kings, it said that's Absalom. When Absalom died, that's where he was buried. And this was the main burial ground of Jerusalem during the Second Temple period. Currently, part of East Jerusalem's and Palestinian Authority's sewage waste flows freely into the Kidron Stream, causing severe environmental damage to the desert and to the Dead Sea area. And there's currently an effort going on to revitalize all that, change the flow, and get everything cleaned up. Interestingly, between Jerusalem and the Palestinians. That's kind of odd to hear that, but they're working on that. Kidron is mentioned once in the New Testament and 8 times in the Old Testament. Some of those in the Old Testament are repeat events, but in just different books of the Bible. Each time it is mentioned is a story of tragedy or hurt, brokenness of heart, and even death. We will see that this valley east of Jerusalem becomes the city's wasteland, trash heap, dumping ground for the city's trash, refuse. It becomes like a landfill. Landfills are known for their stink, their flies, their germs, and their decay. In 1992, we were living in Parsons, Kansas. I got to make a trip with our preacher up to a place in Hammond, Indiana, First Baptist Church, Hammond, Indiana. They have what they call pastoral school. So I got to go up there for a week, and we had services every week. But this one particular night, we drove into Chicago. And as we're going down the freeway, we get to this place, and if you imagine Chicago is, kind of dirty, grungy looking. But we get to this one particular place on the highway as we're going north, and it's the beautiful green rolling hills. And I just caught me off guard, because it's not in the right place to be that beautiful. So I asked the guys there that are familiar with that area, I said, "What is that right there?" And they said, "That's the old landfill." It was beautiful and green and hills. And every once in a while, you see this pipe sticking up out of the ground, and it had this beautiful blue flame burning on it, because the landfill's producing methane gas, and it's burning it off. And I thought, man, there ought to be some way to capture that gas, because later on in life, I'd be involved in the natural gas business. But I thought that was odd. There in Chicago was this, and the grass was like you see on a golf course, but it was on hills, just beautiful, in a landfill. I thought that was just odd. But this Kidron Valley, just remember this. on the other side of the valley, there's a garden. Let's look at David for just a few minutes. The story of David in 2 Samuel 15. David is fleeing from Absalom. Absalom is one of David's sons. He has decided that he's going to take over the kingdom, and he's run his dad off. They're fleeing for their lives, and he left. And so David, he decides he has to leave. He leaves some concubines there to take care of the house and the property there in case he gets to come back. But David crosses this valley, and he's in heartbreak. But where does David do? He ends up in a place called the Garden of Olivet, the Mount Olivet Garden. And I notice what he does right there. He's brokenhearted. His son, Absalom. And see, Absalom has been a problem for him. Remember Absalom? David had a daughter that was raped by her half-brother. And Absalom's, her name was Tamar. Her brother Absalom was mad. And after a few years, he had the opportunity and he slew his brother that had raped his sister. And now here he is. He's trying to take over the kingdom. And David is heartbroken because of what's going on. But he ends up in the Mount Olivet Garden, which is just across the valley from Jerusalem, this Kidron Valley. David had to walk through the trash heap to get to that garden. And what does he do? He covers his head. He goes in barefoot because this place was considered holy. He's pleading with God to help them out. This valley here was a valley of heartbreak for David. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 2. Look at verse 36, 37, and 38. When David, in chapter 16 of our previous book, when David was fleeing Jerusalem, he got to an area where there was a man named Shemaiah that lived there. Shemaiah did not like David. His family was those of Saul, King Saul, and he did not like David. He accused David of being a son of Belial. He accused David of being bloody. He was throwing rocks up in the air and throwing rocks at David and those people that were fleeing. One of David's men says, "You want me to go over and take his head off?" David says, "No, just let him cry out. Just let him do what he's doing. It might be that God will have mercy on me and bring me back to the kingdom because of what he's doing." So eventually, Absalom is killed. David goes back to the kingdom. And Shemaiah, he comes to David and apologizes. By doing that, he saved his life. And David is on his deathbed in 1 Kings chapter 2. And he's telling Solomon, has already been anointed king, and he's telling Solomon some things that he needs to do. And he tells Solomon what to do about Shemaiah. Look at in verse 36. Verse 36 of chapter 2, First Kings. And the king sent, that's Solomon now, sent and called for Shemaiah and said unto him, "Build thee an house in Jerusalem and dwell there. And go not forth thence any whither. For it shall be that on the day that thou goest out and passest over the brook Kidron, thou shalt know for certainty that thou shalt surely die. Thy blood shall be upon thine own head." And Shemaiah said unto the king, "The saying is good, as my lord the king has said so. So will thy servant do." And Shemaiah dwelt in Jerusalem many days. After 3 years, Shemaiah had some servants of his that decided to walk away. They didn't want to be under his rule anymore. So they went up to the country of Gath, or the city of Gath, where the Philistines are. Shemaiah heard that that's where they'd gone. Shemaiah left Jerusalem and went after them and brought them back. Now notice what happens. Verse 41. And it was told Solomon that Shemaiah had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and was come again. And the king sent and called Shemaiah and said unto him, Did I not make thee to swear by the Lord and protest unto thee, saying, No, for a certain, on the day that thou goest out and walkest abroad, and whether thou shalt surely die, and thou sayest unto me, The word that I have heard is good. Why then hast thou not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandment that I have charged thee with? And the king said unto Shemaiah, Thou knowest all the wickedness which thine heart is privy to, that thou didst to my father David. Therefore the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thine own hand, and King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the throne forever. So the king commanded Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, which went out and fell upon him, and he died. All because he didn't obey what he was told to do. He crossed the valley of Kidron, and it cost him his life. Number 3. 1 Kings chapter 15. Notice what happened here. 1 Kings 15, look at verse 9. In the 20th year of the reign of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. And 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maachah, the daughter of Abishalom. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. And he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his father had made. I'm going to stop right there. He took away the Sodomites out of the land. We've been fed a lie for years. We were told, we just want to be free. We just want to do what we live how we want to live. Then we were told, you have to accept what we do. Now we're being told, you have to go along with what we're doing and like it or not, whether it's going to be this way. Now we're being told, we're going to re-educate your children. It was never enough. They're going after our kids now. We have to accept them. They've taken the rainbow as their flag when it belonged to God. God's the one that gave the rainbow, folks. It's not theirs. God destroyed two whole cities and the towns around them because of that sin. And they want to stand there and say that God is love and God would not destroy anybody. By the way, it's in God's word. He did it. You can find scripture in the Old Testament and scripture in the New Testament that warns against that. God said that is the abomination. And we have allowed it to take place. Our forefathers sat back and let it go. And now today, we're paying the price for it, and they're after our kids. Oh, we're going to have, we're going to have transgender reading classes for the kids in the libraries. We have to have transgender classes at school. California has just now passed a law that if any parent, when they know their child wants to transition and doesn't allow their child to transition, they're going to take their kids away from them. Well, Brother Gary, we're a small school. We don't have that going on here yet. Here. Not yet. It's on its way. They're our kids. They're your kids. They do not belong to the state. They do not belong to the government. God gave them to us to raise. We've got to stand and fight for them. I'm going to go on. I'm said enough. I'm going to go on. By the way, the day is going to come when somebody's preaching about this subject right here, you're going to end up in jail. They tried it a few years ago over in Houston. Remember what happened over there? The mayor over there, the gay lesbian mayor over there, she said the preachers had to turn their sermons in a week or two or ahead of time before they preach so we can go through them and make sure you're not preaching the homosexuals. It didn't go over very well. Somebody stood and took a stand and fought. But the day's coming when preachers are going to end up in jail for preaching on that very subject. It's coming. Verse 13. Also, Amasa, his mother, and even her he removed from being queen because she had made an idol in the grove, and Asa destroyed her idol and burned it by the brook Kidron. Because the high places were not removed, nevertheless, Asa, his heart was perfect before the Lord, and he brought in the things which his father had dedicated and the things which himself had dedicated unto the house of the Lord, the silver, the gold, and the vessels. Right here, what happened was, Asa said, it's time to clean the house out. It's time to clean up the church house. Get those idols out. Get the Baal out. Get all the garbage out and clean up God's house. And where they took it? To the brook Kidron and dumped it. It was house cleaning time. I'm going to have to hurry. Josiah in 2 Kings chapter 23 does the same thing as a second house cleaning takes place. Sometimes we just need to do some examining, by the way, not only of our own house, but of our own lives, and do some house cleaning in our hearts, and whether it be in the house we live in physically or in our temple that the body of our body that God lives in, sometimes we need to stop and take a notice and do an examination and clean it out. Listen, folks, we live in a dirty world. And no doubt, I know we have to work, and it's going to rub off on us. Sometimes we just need to sit down and take an evaluation. By the way, open up the flashlight, and he'll show you the red you need to get out. He'll show you the green you need to put in its place. There's something that we get out of our lives that God wouldn't want there. There's something we need to put in its place for God. And he'll show us what that is. Josiah cleaned house. Hezekiah, he cleans the temple again in 2 Chronicles 29:16. That's when I saw that. The people of Jerusalem needed cleaning. And he cleaned out the city because he dealt with the Sodomites too. But guess what? There's something going to happen. Turn over to Jeremiah 31. I'm jumping up ahead. Jeremiah 31. Look at verse 38. This is prophetic. It hadn't happened yet, but this is going to happen. Verse 38. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the city shall be built to the Lord from the tower of Hananel unto the gate of the corner. And the measuring line shall yet go forth over against it upon the hill of Gareb, and shall compass about to Goath. And the whole, here it is, and the whole valley of the dead bodies and of the ashes and all the fields unto the brook of Kidron, unto the corner of the horse gate toward the east, shall be holy unto the Lord. It shall not be plucked up nor thrown down any more forever. God's going to clean that dirty valley. The grass is going to grow green again. The river that flows through it is going to be clean again. And God's going to make it right. I said a while ago that this valley is mentioned one time in the New Testament. Turn to John chapter 18. The name's a little bit different here in the New Testament, but it's the same place. Verse number 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden into the which he entered and his disciples. Remember a while ago I said, there's a garden on the other side of Kidron. By the way, this is the same garden that David went to when he was fleeing Absalom. He covered his head and took his shoes off. It's the same garden. You see, what happened over there in 2 Samuel when David went to the garden was prophetic of right here that Jesus was going to go to that garden like this. He went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden into which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Wasn't the first time Jesus been there. He went there many times. Jesus had to cross that valley to get to the garden. He had to cross the heap, the ash heap. He had to cross dead men's bones. He had to cross the waste and the trash. What he saw when he crossed that valley was a picture of the ash heap of sin that's on this earth. What does he see when he walks into the valley? He sees that ash heap. The results of what sin has done to mankind made him a trash heap for us. He saw you and me. And what he did was, he took all of our sin, the trash heap of our lives, all of it, he took upon himself. But he had to go through the garden, go through it to get there. And while praying, he surrenders to the will of the Father to make himself the trash heap for you and me and all the world, so that he could place his righteousness in us when we call on him as our Savior. That's what he did. When Jesus went to the cross, it says all our sins were placed on him. All the sins of the entire world was placed on him. Every sin that every man that's ever been born since creation was placed on him. The sin of being a thief was placed on him. The sin of adultery was placed on him. The sin of lying was placed on him. The sin of covetousness was placed on him. And the sin of homosexuality was placed on him. It says he became sin who knew no sin. In other words, he became an adulterer, just like an adulterer. He became a liar, just like a liar. He became a thief, like a thief. He became a homosexual, just like a homosexual. That's what he did for us. So he could give us his righteousness. Let's pray. Lord, if anybody here doesn't know you, I pray today they would realize what Jesus did for them. He did more for us on the cross than we can ever, ever, ever imagine. That's what he did for us. So that he could give us his righteousness. But he had to do that. He had to cross that valley. He had to go to that cross and take that trash heap upon himself to give us his righteousness. And all somebody has to do is realize what he did, say, okay, I'm going to accept what Jesus Christ did for me on that cross, and his righteousness will be placed on that person. Very simple. All you got to do. Let's stand. Jeff. Let's sing a song. Folks, if you don't